Blog Talk Radio.
All right, what's up, everybody? Good evening, good afternoon, maybe good morning, wherever you may be listening. We appreciate you listening. This is Russell Talking to D, but this is a special edition. So I can't just say this is Russell Talking to D. This is Russell Talking to D and the Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313. This is the combined edition of this show. I'm going to be bringing on the Rated R boys relatively shortly. I don't mean to call you guys boys. I mean the Rated R man. They grown man. But I'll be bringing them on shortly. But I'm going to be kicking off things tonight. And, of course, they're going to be finishing off things later on with their own particular show. But in between, we're both going to work together because we're going to be bringing on a special guest relatively shortly once he calls into this program. First, as I always do on Wrestle Talking D, I want to just thank God for giving us another chance to talk about wrestling, talk about the sport we love, talk about the sport that we get so crazy and nutty about, no matter if it's, I guess, lame WWE, as some people would say, or deathmatch wrestling, or cruiserweight wrestling, any type of wrestling. You know, we're passionate about what we do, and this show will be just as passionate. Before I bring the guys on, I just want to do my little 2-minute opening monologue. I don't know about everybody else, but last night we saw something amazing. We saw something amazing. And in this life, amazing things happen all the time. The birth of a child. A birth of a child is an amazing thing. You getting married is an amazing thing. I don't know if it will continue to be amazing, be an amazing thing, but you getting married is an amazing thing. You learning how to drive is an amazing thing. But last night on AEW Dynamite, I witnessed something that was amazing. And I'm not a huge fan of AEW, but Thunder Rosa versus Britt Baker was one of the best matches I've seen in my 33 years of living. I'm not saying that just to be saying it. I'm saying it because that's the fact. My eyes saw something great last night. Those two wrestlers, those two females put on a clinic last night. Those two females put on an ultimate exhibition last night. It was a physical match. It was a well-drawn-out story. It was a well-presented story. And I don't always go back and watch matches twice. That's one of those matches that I'm going to have to go back and watch again, again, and again because it was so good. And I'm a big WWE fan. And some people would say I'm a WWE apologist or I'm in denial about WWE. I'm pretty sure I am in denial about WWE and their flaws and their storylines, but I'm a 100% WWE fan. But for one second, I got to keep it real. That match was the bomb. So I want to take these few minutes to give them props about that match last night, but we're still waiting for the former TNA heavyweight champion to call in, Moose. He should be calling in relatively shortly. So I'm going to stop talking. I'm going to bring in the Rated R guys, Southwest Texan and Greg. What's up, Southwest? What's up, Greg?
What's going on, Brother Montez? How's everybody doing tonight? Man, I'm so excited about tonight. We're doing the first mashup of the Rated R or the Wrestle Talk in the D with Brother Martez and the Rated R Wrestling Podcast with yours truly, the Southwest Texan, and my brother Greg the Mark, man. What's going on, Brother Greg? How's everybody doing tonight?
I'm doing great, man. I'm so happy to be here. And first, I just want to bring up, man, Imagine Theater in Royal Oak here next month.
Yes.
You can hit up my tent
so
for your ticket.
About that also.
WrestleMania viewing party.
At the Imagine Theater in Royal Oak. Hosted
hey,
by
I
your
appreciate
guys
that
truly.
It's
going to be an exciting night, and I can't wait to meet everybody that goes. Meet new friends and be able to hang with everybody that we know. Open talk families everywhere, you know, Jesus.
Oh,
great thing.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be a great event. Hopefully, it's gonna be a good show. Hopefully, everybody comes out to have fun and watch WrestleMania with us. I'm gonna bring on Dominic. He just wants to. He's my co-host. He's gonna say hello. What's up, Dom?
What's going on? Ding dong.
Good evening, how are you?
Good evening, Dom. How's it going, man?
It's been too long, Southwest. I've been out. Brother Martez been holding us down on our platform. Tonight, I'm back, man.
Man, good to have you back, man. Yeah, man. It's a great thing, man. It has been a long time, man. It's a long time overdue.
Oh yeah. I'm back, ready to talk, chop it up wrestling. So you know,
all right,
just, and then being part of this. Oh, go ahead, Seth. My bad.
Sorry, Dom. Before I didn't mean to cut you off. Before we do that, our guest of the evening and Southwest would say, and Greg would say, our guest of the evening has called in, but I don't want to cut you off, Dominic. I want to give you the respect that you deserve. I want you to finish what you were going to say.
No, I'm good. No, I was lollygagging intro. That's it.
Okay. Cool. Now, we do things a little different on Wrestle Talk in the D. I always say this. Nobody has to accept your invitation. Nobody has to accept your invitation. It could be an invitation to a birthday party. It could be an invitation to a wrestling event. It could be an invitation to any type of celebration. Nobody has to accept their invitation. At this time, we're going to be bringing on the former TNA heavyweight champion, that in the person of Moose. All right. And unfortunately, his call dropped, so we can't bring him on right now, guys. Sorry about that, guys.
The anticipation continues.
All right, he's on with us now. Wanted to let him know we appreciate him accepting the invitation to come on this show. At this time, we're going to be bringing on a former TNA heavyweight champion, Moose. How you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
Oh, we can't complain, man. We're here, and we appreciate you coming on, man.
Oh, thanks for inviting
me. I agree.
Oh, yeah. You've been such a nice and a cool person to talk to over the last few weeks in preparation to bring you onto this show. So we want to once again say thank you, and thank you for accepting this invitation to be on this program. And I know we don't want to keep you long because I'm pretty sure you got 1,000 things you have to do.
yeah, I'm kind of like a busy day. I just flew in from Nashville for papers and busy working out and unpacking the whole nine.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to just get right into it, and then the other guys are going to be asking you questions as well. How did this all start for you? How did you decide you wanted to get into the wrestling industry, get into the wrestling field? Because I know you were a football player first. So how did that happen? How did that transition come about?
It's just something I always wanted to do as a kid. I was a big fan of it. Just something I wanted to do as a kid. Always knew I was going to do it. Just didn't know at what moment in my life I was going to take the time to chase it. But always been something I knew I always wanted to do. So.
Awesome. Now, you've been on fire this last year. You know, you've been destroying people on Impact Wrestling. What are you attributing that to? Because from what I've seen, you've been dominating. You were named the TNA Royal Heavyweight Champion, former, unfortunately, now. But you've been dominating this whole year. So what do you attribute that to?
Honestly, what I've been doing this whole year is pretty much what I've been doing for the last 2 or 3 years. It's just quarantine happened, and everybody was forced to watch. Wasn't nobody able to go out, and everybody was forced to watch every wrestling company on TV. And people couldn't just watch WWE because that's the most popular wrestling company. They had to watch everything, you know? And honestly, I've been doing the thing for the last 3 years. It's just, I guess, me and my wife talk about it. I feel like the outbreak of COVID showed people who I was, because I wish I could say that I've been my besties and, you know what I'm saying, take my vitamins, so, you know. But it's just one of those things that I've just been doing the last 3 years, and people just, I guess, took 2021 to catch on.
Right. Yeah. We're gonna turn the rest of the questions over to my brother Day Day and Greg and Dominic. Go ahead, Day Day.
How's it going, man? Another question I had to ask you, man. The TNA Heavyweight Championship, man. It was retired up until last year when you brought it back up. Was it a thing that TNA did, or was it a thing that you did? Like, hey, Tessa Blanchard's gone, and I want to take over her absence. Basically, you were an interim Impact Heavyweight Champion, and, you know, you ran with it the whole way, even though she came back, lost the title, whatnot, and then you just barely lost it now. I mean, was that something you did, or was that, like, something that Impact had going on?
I feel like that by this time we know that wrestling is just drama. So it's not like I didn't personally go in there and be like, hey, Tessa's not going to be here. I want to be the – I don't make that call. I just do what I'm told. And it's funny because the original idea of that title was supposed to come pre-COVID with – we were supposed to have a show, There's Nothing Like Home, during the WrestleMania weekend in Tampa last year. And in that show, because it was an old-school TV show, we were supposed to bring back the King of the Mountain match. I don't know if you guys remember that match. And for the King of the Mountain match, they were supposed to bring the TNA title back. And the winner the winner of the King of the Mountain match was going to be called the new TNA World Heavyweight Champion. And I was supposed to win that match. But COVID happened. WrestleMania was shut down. And we had to cancel, fortunately, because of safety reasons. Obviously, you guys know that. And we had, I guess, the writers had to figure out a way to bring back the title, to bring a title without actually scrapping the idea of me winning it. So I'm a heel, and the only thing that made sense, which is correct, is a heel just bringing out the title and claiming he won it. And I think it was a very smart idea in that choice because it got me a lot of heat because obviously everybody was saying, oh, you're not the real world champion and you're a fake world champion. So, I mean, it was awesome creative, and that's what happened.
Yeah, I remember Josh Matthews saying, oh, he's not the real world champion. And then the Madison Rain was like, oh, man, he's, you know, the self-proclaimed –
heavyweight champion. And, man, I basically kind of, like, followed the whole thing. That's what made me ask the question, man. That was, like, a big question on my mind. And another thing is, was that, like, them unifying the title? Are they going to keep it, like a separate brand of TNA? Or are they just going to unify it all together? And are you going to be going, you know what I'm saying, you got to get your rematch clause. I mean, I'm pretty sure you're going to take on that quick, too.
Those questions, those answers are going to – I can't give you those answers. You're just going to have to watch the show every Tuesday on SCTV to find out those answers. I mean, I can't spoil the show for you. You have to watch
it. No, for sure. Okay, yeah, for sure. Oh, I do. I do. I tune in every Tuesday, man. I do. That's how I know, you know what I'm saying. But,
yeah.
Yeah, another question I wanted to ask you is, do you ever get an itch or, like, you know what I'm saying? I know you love pro wrestling, but have you ever gotten an itch in the past to ever go back to football?
Have I ever gotten the itch? Yes, but not because I actually want, not because I miss it, more because I knew what I was made. And there's a lot of money, and sometimes I'm like, man, I wonder if I'm still good enough to go back just to play one more year so I can make $1 million in 5 months. You know what I'm saying? So, yes, in that sense, yes, I do get it sometimes, but not on the passion thing, more of a monetary.
For sure. All right, well, I'm going to pass it on to my brother Greg to see if he's got some questions.
Hey, how are you, sir? Thank you again for your time with us this evening. So you brought up, you know, we were just talking about football. You're obviously still in phenomenal shape. Are you confident that you could, if you had decided to make the switch back to football, that you could easily transition back?
I don't know, because I'm a lot lighter than I was when I played. I'm sure I'm talented enough, but with the position I played, it can't be just talent. I was an offensive lineman when I played. I was 320. And now I'm like, my shoot weight is like 258, 257. So I've lost like 70 pounds. So if I could gain 70 pounds safely, 100% I think I could play. I'd probably be better at it because I'm in way better shape now than I was then. But it's just the thought process of trying to gain a healthy 70 pounds and do it without drugs and illegal substances and steroids and all that. So, I mean, I'm sure I'll probably say yes, I probably could and be better than I was, but that's just the competitor in me saying that. But, I mean, who knows?
So what do you think about possibly transitioning to another position? Because didn't you play another position before you were an offensive lineman?
Yeah, I played tight end, but they're pretty much the same thing. You watch football. Offensive lineman is not that far away from a tight end. Is not that much far away from being an offensive lineman. Like, there are tight ends in the NFL that are pretty much the sixth offensive lineman. All they do is block, never go out for a pass. They're just there to block. So they're strictly an offensive lineman. So.
Yeah, and if you know football is a game, you know, you might just know Rob Gronkowski catches touchdowns. The game has changed in that respect somewhat, that there are some receiving tight ends that are mainly for that purpose. But a tight end blocks more than he runs out and catches a pass, for sure.
And I played with tight ends that never caught a pass the whole year. And all they did was strictly block. So what's the difference between that? Same thing.
Yeah, that's true. And I guess you are blocking just about as heavy a fella, even at that position.
Yeah.
So you when you transition from Ring of Honor, they, you know, the word was that there was interest from, you know, obviously you had a decision to make. What made you choose Impact? And I'd also like to ask, you know, was there dialogue with WWE, and what did that sound like?
I hate talking about those things because I try to keep those things personal with dialogue with other companies and all that. But the reason why I chose to go to Ring, I left Ring of Honor and chose to go to Impact, I felt like I was stale. I got to a point where I was stale at Ring of Honor, and I wasn't really getting better, and I wasn't really used in the right direction. And nothing against Ring of Honor, I mean, because I have a lot of friends, and the booker, Hunter, he's a great, awesome guy. But it's just one of those things where I felt like he had more stars in the company to worry about. I mean, it was the Briscoes, it was Jay Lethal, it was AJ was there, it was Samoa Joe was there for a little bit, Adam Cole, Roderick Strong. So he had a bunch of stars to play with, and I was just making my rise in professional wrestling. I don't even consider myself a star yet. I just got to the point where he had so many stars that he couldn't focus on everybody and then also focus on this kid who just got into professional wrestling not too long ago. And I just felt like I was just stale. I wasn't being used the way I wanted to be used. So I figured I would change brands and change companies to see if I would get better luck somewhere else.
Right. And so would your long-term plans prefer to be to stay with Impact and grow with them, or do you possibly, you know, see yourself possibly somewhere else? What are your, you know, long-term goals in wrestling?
Answer that question, you probably would have hate me for this because it's like I'm not giving you any of your answers. I don't make long-term goals because a lot of things can happen when you make a long-term goal. So I think long-term goals are stupid because I could say, hey, in the next 5 years, I want to be in the NFL. I mean, I want to be in WWE, and I go out there and get a car accident, and it doesn't happen. So I try to control, make short-term goals because they're more liable to happen, and that's just my mindset of goals. And I haven't thought about it. I mean, I love Impact Wrestling. Without Impact Wrestling, I wouldn't be where I am right now. So that's all I can say. But that's the answer I can give you. Like, I love Impact Wrestling, and without Impact Wrestling, I wouldn't be where I am. And I haven't thought about what my future is going to be because I don't make those kind of decisions because they're stressless to me. And I'm just focusing on how to get better every day. I step into the ring, and that's what my focus is on. And
so,
everything else
in
is playing.
Short term, you guys have a cool thing going with AEW, and I actually was really hoping to see Kenny Omega and Moose. I truly was.
I swear to God, I was.
Who would you, in the short term, like to work with from AEW?
Oh, man, AEW has a long list of guys I would love to work. I mean, I could sit here and name guys forever if that was the case. But you say that you would love to see me work Kenny Omega, but who said a Moose versus Kenny Omega matchup is out the picture? You have to watch the show and find out. Like,
touche.
Everybody, and that because I lost the match to Rich Swann last weekend or whenever it was, that me versus Kenny Omega is out the picture completely. I mean, it's wrestling. Wrestling is a what they call it, Ferris wheel. It just keeps going and coming, going around and going around. And I'm sure at some point the world is going to see Moose versus Kenny Omega.
Absolutely. I hope so, too. And I'm excited for the whole thing. I've been so much more interested in not missing either, not just kind of finding out what happened as much as actually seeing and catching the show. Since, you know, and like you said, so many more matchups, not just with yourself and a whole nother roster, but so many other great talents as well. And definitely looking forward to it. They are. But the advertiser was, you know, the winner versus Kenny Omega, which is what I was really hoping for. What I tuned in to see was Moose, you know, defeat Rich Swann, take your rightful place so people could stop calling you the self-proclaimed champion.
No, man, Moose, you've gotten better over the years, man, in the ring. You've gotten your back moonsault that you did a few weeks ago or like a month ago, man. You've gotten a whole lot better in that ring since I've been watching you since like 3-4 years ago when you first started.
And like I said, it's like, I mean, I appreciate the compliment, and I do think I have gotten. I mean, the goal is to get better every day, and I definitely do think I have gotten better from 2-3 years ago, but. The thing about wrestling, I critique myself so hard that in the ways that I've gotten better in the ring, I don't even think the fans see that. I think all the fans see is, oh, he did this cool move. He's gotten better. But they don't really see in what ways I've gotten better because wrestling has turned out to be only about moves. Like, oh, he did this move. He did this move. So, oh, my God, he's so much better. But I've always been able to do a moonsault. I've been able to do a moonsault since I left the NFL in 2000, and I've done moonsaults before. It's just now there's more eyes on the product, and you can see that. But you are right, and I appreciate the comment. I've definitely got better. I work on my craft every day, and I watch different icons that I look up to and see how they did things so I could. Not to say steal it, but to learn from it. You know what I'm saying? Just like little things and like mannerisms or facials and different ways of selling without selling pain. Little stuff like that. But nobody notices that. Everybody just notices, oh, he did a moonsault and he did a Spanish fly and he did this backflip, fall away, whatever. He's gotten so much better, you know? Okay. But I get it because that's what it is now. It's all about the moves, right?
I disagree.
No,
I love wrestling.
I love
to watch a match that I'm invested in emotionally. And we frequent, you know, Indy here, and we're in Metro Detroit. And, you know, we got mainly the Metro Detroit area. We travel. We frequent several promotions. And those are the best matches to me, the one where, you know, the investment in the match, the reason the guys are wrestling, the story that's being told in the ring that, I really appreciate it, and I see what he's trying to say. Like, the investment in the match, the matches themselves, are much better matches than they were in 2015, even when you were the PWI Rookie of the Year.
Right. Yeah, I mean, yeah, and I appreciate that. I mean, it's little. I've always worked on the little things. The moves I already always knew I could do. It's all about making the moves I do make sense when I do them and just not doing it just because I know how to do it, but making it make sense. And that's what my big thing is now. And honestly, my matches, I try not to do much. It's one of those things where I've learned when you don't do much, when you do something cool, it makes people go crazy because they don't see you do it. So in the last few years, I've stopped doing all the backflips and all the moonsaults and all the crazy moves that could get me hurt and save us for big moments. So when I do it, I get the reaction I've been getting the last few weeks or the last month because they haven't seen me do it. A lot of people didn't know I could do those things because I don't do it at all. I stopped doing them.
Yeah, that moment stood out in Day Day's head because, you know, you save that moment to be a moment and it made it a memorable one. And I think that, like, even the doing moves for the sake of moves almost has its place in wrestling. Like, deathmatch wrestling. It's its own genre, and it has its own place. And even in a variety-type show, it can have its place, you know. And you got the, you know, two littler guys that are going to do all the crazy, crazy shit. But the main event should tell the best story, should be the match. You know what I mean? Not necessarily, like you said, the one with the biggest, fanciest moves. I just love wrestling, and I appreciate it. That's why we're always intrigued to ask, like, Martez, you know, when and how, you know, you got into wrestling. I'd like to ask you another question. I like to ask even my wrestling friends. Who was your first favorite wrestler that you can remember?
Oh, my first favorite wrestling? Has to be Hulk Hogan. Oh, actually, no, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. That's so disrespectful. Ric Flair. Because Ric Flair was the first watch that got me into wrestling. I remember watching, the first time I watched wrestling was in the 92 Royal Rumble when Ric Flair won it and won the WWE title. That was my first ever experience with professional wrestling. And after that day, I fell deep in love with Ric Flair. And then I started, like, I didn't even know what professional wrestling was until I saw that show. And every Monday or whatever it was, I was like, I need to find out what this was. And that's when I got into, like, Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior and Macho Man and all those guys. But to answer that question, Ric Flair was the first person I saw that made me love with pro wrestling.
I'm 39. I was born in 81. My first favorite wrestler was actually Wildfire Tommy Rich. I lived in the Pittsburgh area then, and when I was probably 2-3 years old, and he was the guy. And then I grew up a Hulkamaniac, though, man.
I think
definitely my childhood.
To really answer your questions, Ric Flair got me into wrestling, but every kid and every teenager loved Hulk Hogan. I mean, who didn't? You had to be a terrorist if you didn't like Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, just my dad's asshole friends that sweated me. And so I remember the neighbor telling me on Saturday night's main event, this was, I'm guessing, 80. This was before WrestleMania 3 at the Silverdome. But he had broken Hogan's ribs, and he was giving me crap about it. Like, got to be the only guy in the world that thinks that's cool, that somebody hurt Hulk Hogan. Like, you're an awful, awful person. I remember thinking that a little kid.
Right.
Hey, this
hey,
is Martez.
Hey, Moose, I got a question for you.
I actually go toss it to you, Dominic. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Hey, Moose, this is Dominic. Just a quick question, man. I want to know how you feel about WWE. How you feel about Bobby Lashley right now, his success in the MVP with the Hurt Business?
How do I feel about Bobby Lashley?
Like, yeah, what's your input on, you know, his right now, him being the champ right now?
I mean, it's great. Bobby's a good friend of mine. I mean, it's great that he's a champion. He's a real good buddy of mine, and he's making what he's doing right now is definitely great for our culture. I love it. I mean, he's a great guy, and he's a very awesome guy. And I know on TV he looks like an animal, but he's off TV. He's probably one of the nicest fellows I've ever met. I'm proud to call him a friend.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, man, when you brought the title back, Rich Swann and Bobby being the champion, it's like you needed that for the culture. The Black champ, man, it was a long time coming, man. So I appreciate you and Bobby, all of you guys.
Thanks.
I have two more things, and we're going to let you go for the evening. My next question is this. There's a lot of shadiness going on in the world, especially on social media. I always feel like there's a section of, I don't want to say fans or people that may try to give you a hard time on social media or try to create something that's not true about you. And I see that happen with a lot of wrestlers. Some stories are true, some stories aren't true, but there's a lot of people that's looking to looking for preying on your downfall, if you will. Do you ever think about that? Or, well, my question is, how would you handle that? Or have you prepared for something like that? Somebody
try
to come.
I don't take social media serious. My mom always told me it was very inspirational. She was like, when they praise you, don't take it serious, and when they boo you, don't take it too serious. So it's like one of those things that, like, when I have a good match and I go on social media and they're like, oh, Moses great, I don't let it get to my head. And the it's the exact opposite. When they talk crap about me, I don't look into it at all. So I'm even Steven. I don't take social media serious, and I never will. So I don't have that issue with social media, and bless those people who take it too serious. You know what I'm saying? I don't.
Amen, amen. Before we let you go, is there anything you want to promote or get out there before we let you go?
Nothing. I'm actually about to watch this new Justice League Zack Snyder's cut, so I got it all prepped because I get off the phone with you. I'm on to watch it.
I think that's going to be good. But for myself and the other guys, we want to thank you for coming on and spending time with us, and hopefully we can work out something else where you can be here in Detroit with us really soon, all right?
All right, thank you.
All right, have a good night, brother. God bless.
Oh, man, right, what a great guy, man.
Yeah, go ahead, Southwest. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
No. I would say what a great guy. I wasn't gonna say that, but hey, you what a great guy. What more can you ask for? He was a great interview. I mean, it's hard to do an interview. I don't know about you guys, like all four of us, and we're not together, but we did. I think we did a good job, and I'm gonna turn the rest of the show over to you guys.
Well, yeah, guys, man, brother Greg, brother Martez, it was a pleasure to do the interview with you guys, and then thank you to Moose for having, coming on to the show. Like Martez said, that he don't have to take the invitation onto the show, and man, you guys stay tuned for our show, the Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313 on Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash, and what a great show we have. We have Gypsy Mac. She's an indie female wrestler, and we're going to have another guest, 123 Zeke, referee. We're going to take and recap HorrorSlam, and we're going to talk everything that we got going on this weekend. Brother Greg, you want to say anything?
Yeah, we are. Yeah, I'd like to also, man, thank Moose, and that was a lot of fun. It was some awesome insight he gave us, everything from football to, making changes and moves in life to, goals. And it was an interesting guy. Not a lot of guys will tell you they don't make long-term goals. I don't really make long-term goals. I always say I don't make plans because they always get fucked up.
I don't need to.
So,
that's what I do.
That's how I said, man. I pretty much live life by the seat of my pants. But, it works out. God's got me. But, man, living by the seat of our pants. We actually, first of all, I forgot. I want to say, everybody in the Metro Detroit area, get your ass to the Imagine Theater in Royal Oak. Big fancy place, dude. You'll love it. Tickets are $25. WrestleMania viewing party, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to, your boys, Day-Day and Greg will be there. Martez, he's going to be there. And it's going to be a lot of fun. Hope to see a lot of our wrestling fan family and, talent as well. I've put out several invitations. Obviously, a lot of guys aren't going to be in
They're
going to be working WrestleMania. We got, our buddies at Crab Wrestling and Flophouse are doing the You know, they're Wrestle with Mania out there.
We Wrestle with Mania.
You know,
yep.
Fire card. But then we had a fire ass card on Saturday.
Oh, such a fire card. But we'll keep that on until the show comes on. So, guys, like we said, stay tuned for the Rated R Wrestling Podcast on next. Thank you, Martez, for having us on.
Oh, no problem, no problem. Like he said, stay tuned for the Rated R Wrestling Podcast. Hey, Dom, I know this was a short show. Did you have anything to say in, like, the next 60 seconds before we wrap up? Dom? All right, well, I think we lost Dominic. Ladies and gentlemen, the Rated R Wrestling Podcast is up next. See you later.
Kayfabe, the people's band. We are the only sports entertainment cover band. We are going to play all of your favorite wrestling theme songs from the golden ages of the 1980s all the way up to today. From all as many wrestling promotions that you love near and dear, from the NWA days, the WCW, to the WWF, or of course we know today is WWE, Ring of Honor, or New Japan, they got some theme songs out there. We will be playing them. And there will be some songs that we're going to cover that may not necessarily be wrestling theme songs, but they may have been songs that wrestlers have used in the past. Like, for example, the late, great Junkyard Dog, Hall of Famer. Back in the day, in the early 80s, he used to come out to a very popular song by the rock group Queen, Another One Bites the Dust. That's just one example. And we are going to be playing everywhere we possibly can. Birthday parties, corporate events, wrestling shows, Comic Cons, anime conventions. We may be...
All right, everybody, welcome to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313. Man, the Southwest Texan Day Day Crews here with my brother Greg DeMarc. We're on Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash. Man, brother Greg, what a night we get. Man, what a night we got, huh?
We are, man. Dude, I'm excited. What a night we've already had, man. Just coming off the Moose interview. And, man, and an awesome night we're about to have. WrestleMania, Royal Oak, Imagine Theater, 25
Royal
bucks.
Oak and Imagine Theater,
man. Watch WrestleMania at a theater.
Come meet some great people, and it'll be with your guys truly. For the Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313, Southwest Texas, Greg DeMarc, man, we're ready to meet all you guys, man. Watch WrestleMania with you guys. Have some food. Have some fun.
Yeah, we hope to see all the fans out there, all our indie wrestling friend fans. We expect to, you know, hopefully meet some new friends. And, you know, I got a lot of invitations out, trying to get a lot of talent out there, too. We, as I said, a lot of our friends are going to be in
they're
going to
be working WrestleMania weekend. They're going to be working WrestleMania weekend.
Flop House are putting together.
They're
going to
be putting up such a great... That booze, they're going to have a booze and they're going to have an all-you-could-drink for $10 at WrestleMania weekend at Flop House.
Wow.
Yeah, all-you-can-drink.
We will not be in Florida. We're going to be here at the Royal Oak Imagine Theater with my man Martez Ale. Hit him up. You can find him on Facebook for tickets. And we're going to be
you can
sharing,
even hit us
sharing up more frequently because it's getting closer. We're, you know, less than a month away, and I'm excited, man. Yeah, big place, big screen, awesome place to watch WrestleMania, dude.
Oh, yeah. If you're going to be watching WrestleMania, come out to the Royal Oak Theater, the Magic Theater in Royal Oak. It's going to be a great night. Like right. Like we said, if you're going to be watching WrestleMania, watch it with us. We'll be grateful to watch it with you guys.
Hell, yeah. And Saturday was a great night and a great show, man.
Man, Saturday was such a great show, man. We got a new Horseland Heavyweight Champion in Tommy Vendetta.
Fuck that guy.
Man, I'm not going to lie. I like Tommy Vendetta. And look, I said it. MS3 versus Tommy Vendetta.
I picked him to win. I wanted him to win. And then him and his fucking goons jump MM3. What the fuck? They beat
MM3
up on
MM3 fired first. MM3 fired first. What do you expect them to do?
Hey,
it was a triple threat for the first.
Jeremiah Goldmain for no reason.
Well, he hit Tommy Vendetta with a chair.
Yeah, it was justified.
They
beat him up
matter.
For no reason.
If you're in a ring and you have a chair and you hit somebody, you're allowed to get your ass whooped as well.
By a whole crew of goons? I mean, Tommy Vendetta, I mean, he's a deathmatch wrestler. Jeremiah Goldmain is, you know, like me, 130, 140 pounds. I mean, simply swatted.
Man,
well,
I mean, he came in and tried. Hey.
Okay,
wanted to get in the ring.
But he deserved it.
How did he deserve it? Anyway,
what are you saying? What side are you on, bro? Are you on DTA side or Horace Land?
I'm on Horace Land side, but I'm
DTA
just saying.
Dominic, dude, I'm torn. But what they did to my friend Jeremiah Goldmain and the best wrestler on the fucking planet was uncalled for, unexcusable. Fuck that guy.
Okay, talking about the best wrestler in the fucking world, talking about MM3, let's announce his fucking match for Saturday night. No.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy, that.
He will be challenging for the X Division Championship at TKW.
He's going to be challenging Ace Austin this Saturday for the X Division Championship. This Saturday. Jesus Christ, I can't wait for that match.
So excited. So excited for that.
I am too, dude. I am so stoked for that match. I'm so ready. But just not just
a long time.
Hey, all the matches on that show is going to be fire. All that whole night is
going was just.
What match are you excited to see besides that one? What match are you excited to see besides the X Division Championship match?
I don't know. So there's Freedom and Schwartzy in a rematch for the title. That's going to be a good one.
That's going to be a hard-hitting match, man, because I could see Ramsey wanting his championship back. But listen, the Purge versus and Madman Fulton. You got that whole match, man. You got Jesus Christ, the Purge versus the Hollow and Fulton. Man, that's gonna be a six man match that you ain't gonna man. The Purge, their self are unpredictable when they every time they hit the ring, man. When they get in there, it's unpredictable because that's look at their name, the Purge. They wanna hurt people. You got the Hollow.
Go fuck yourself, Guru. Somebody beat his ass. I hope Fulton beats
fuck
his ass.
Fuck the Guru.
He's got Fulton smoking that ragweed too. Jeez, man. Good heavens.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's going to be a good match, but I have a picture of me with the TKW Women's Championship. I have seen and held the TKW Women's Championship.
And that match is going to be a good match.
It's going to be a gauntlet match. That's going to be one of the big matches this Friday that are going to be exciting to see.
Saturday. And you got the TKW Tag Team Championship. You got the new TKW, the inaugural TKW Tag Team Champions, the No Man's John Stockmeyer, the big bad wolf, and Road Rash versus our boys, the Capital Vices. My loyalty, I'm sorry, Nomad, but I'm going with the Capital Vices to win them championships.
I'm going with the Nomads this time, man, again. Actually, they were my pick to win the four-way. Now, that was before I knew MM3 was Sin's partner. Had I known that,
yeah,
they would have been my hands-down pick to win. But Nomads, dude, scrappy, wily veterans, man, Road Rash and A7. Scratch and fought and clawed.
But you got the Hungry Vices. But you got the Hungry Vices, and like their theme song, 1, 2 Vices coming for you.
I think they got new. I think they do.
But still, yep. nonetheless, they're coming for them tag team championships. And then, dude, the pre-show. You got to look at the pre-show, even if. From bell to bell, it's gonna be a banger match. You got Jonte Keith, which if you pay attention on Facebook, he caught
that,
a fire promo, and then Allen versus. Yes. That's what I said from bell to bell. Like I said, from bell to bell.
Than MM3 and Ace Austin, I really believe that. That's gonna be a fucking banger. Don't
versus
be late.
TJ Meyer versus Alex Weir. Yes. Yes, I agree with you. I agree with you 100%.
My first time seeing Jonte Keith live. I've been watching his shit on the internet for like 3 years now, and I'm a huge Jonte Keith fan. And, dude, that match is going to be so good.
Before we get on with our interviewee, I'm going to call her tonight, Gypsy Mac, man, let's talk about the Deathmatch Chaos Cup tournament. That's gonna be bloody. And whoever survives that whole tournament and wins that cup, dude, is one tough son of a bitch. I don't give a fuck what nobody says. Man, you got Rick Cartier, the old school Rick Cartier versus Sean Longhorn in a Taipei dog collar death match. That match is gonna get bloody. You got the old school man, and he's hard hitting just as it is when he's in the ring. Imagine a death match or a Taipei dog collar death match, man. That match is going to be crazy nonetheless. You got Peter B. Beautiful versus Phoenix Kid in a thumbtack death match. You got Mathis Thrasher, which we just seen him fight Chuck Stein for the death match championship. Came up a little short nonetheless. He's facing the new Horace M. heavyweight champion in Tommy Vendetta. And then we got Chuck Stein versus a mystery opponent. Who is it? We don't know. You also got Mickey Knuckles in the mix. And you also have Man Pondo in the mix, man. That's just going to be a fire-ass fucking tournament, bro. Hard-hitting, banging-ass matches, man. Bloody. Nonetheless, there's going to be a winner. And whoever wins that shit, man, is going to be the done a lost a lot of blood by the end of that tournament.
No, I completely agree. What's up with the Lawhorn and the fucking glass, dude?
I don't know.
That guy, he got a fucking dusted plate pounded into his fucking foot. That's fucked.
Dude, Chuck Stein last time he faced Mickey Knuckles really took the most fucking hardest fucking gusted plate hit that I've ever seen. He bled at that last show.
Dude, the one at your house, bro, was the worst. He had two of them bitches buried in his chest. That's one of them.
Yeah, you're right. No, dude, but you got to look at – but, dude, he bled. He bled that night, bro. He bled at Mickey when he faced Mickey Knuckles. The godmother of fucking death match wrestling.
Dude,
I love Mickey Knuckles, dude. I love her, dude.
She's in this tournament, too.
She is
too.
A shit.
I don't think she's on this show. They haven't announced the match for her. She's on the bracket. There's actually
She is. She is on the bracket, but they haven't announced her.
I'm confused. Because out of nowhere, the Sean Lawhorn and Peter B. match was for the AIWF.
The Death Match Heavyweight Championship.
Beautiful Death Match Champion. So I believe.
I guess. Hey, listen to this. I guess the winner of the Chuck Stein and his mystery opponent's match faces Mickey Knuckles.
Right, but you see on the bracket, Pete's in the tournament. Peter B is in the tournament, and he.
You know how Peter B is. He's going to defend that championship, win or lose or draw, one of the three. He's going to go on to that tournament, and he's going to fight until he can't fight no more, because that's Peter B himself.
He's on the bracket. That's what I'm saying.
I see it. I'm looking at the bracket. Because the winner of his the winner of that match. Look, the winner of the Phoenix Kid and the Peter B. Beautiful match is not just for the Deathmatch Heavyweight Championship. It's also for that tournament. Just that match is for the title, though.
For the Deathmatch Championship. The first round match between Phoenix and Peter. Okay.
Yes.
That's what I was wondering. So he's going to defend the title all the way through the. So I assume if Phoenix Kid wins, that he would be defending the title moving forward, right?
Correct. Yeah, correct. Because it says champion at the end of the fucking bracket, so this is going to be just one bloody fucking mayhem fucking, might as well call it a fucking deathmatch mosh pit. You call, might as well call it a deathmatch mosh pit. Shit.
I'm still too confused on that. But,
No, I get it. I get the whole thing. I get the whole bracket. I'm looking at the bracket.
I don't know. Maybe a champion would crown prematurely.
I mean, I'm looking at it. I'm looking right at it. So I don't know, but man, what a weekend.
Dude, Friday night, Pro Wrestling All Stars.
Yes. Now, that's going to be at Victory Gym over there in Brownstown. You got the opener match. You got Lamiro Starr versus Brutus Atwell with your best friend, the Guru.
Dude, Lamiro Starr is going to be a fucking stud, bro.
Dude,
that kid's going to be a superstar. He's like, muscles on muscles, like a physique. Like, I don't think I've ever seen around
dude,
here,
you know,
honestly.
You know what? You know what my favorite move is that he does, dude? It's the spine buster. He does a fucking great spine buster, bro. He does a great spine buster. That dude in the ring, you're not lying.
He's, pretty much brand new. We got a whole new. So Sunday is Showcase of the Stars. It's in Southwest Detroit at Knights of Columbus. And the last Showcase of the Stars had a lot of young new faces like Lamiro Starr, and I think these guys, it's going to be fun to see these guys come up and evolve, which they said they're fairly new. They're looking pretty good. I mean, I believe they're House of Truth guys, I'm almost certain. I know a lot of these other young guys that are just coming out are at least
I think Zeke is supposed to be on, ain't he?
He's he's actually delayed.
He's delayed.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's still hoping to be. Maybe after our guest this evening. If we don't see him in time. But there's, by the way, Martez brought up that we never really, it was his opening monologue. That women's match last night in AEW, I've only read about it.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Dude, I read about it myself, dude.
Everybody
was crazy in that match.
I missed it. I'm like, oh my God, I gotta see this now.
Dude, I gotta watch it, dude. I've seen pictures, dude, and I kind of, you know what I'm saying? Dude, that match looked like it was fucking straight up. They burnt the fucking whole arena down, bro. And they got an ovation, the standing ovation from the ring, from the whole backstage when they went back there when they in gorilla position.
I'll bet they did, dude. Yeah, I read quite a bit about it. I kind of know how the match went. And, you know, and like you, I've seen pictures. And I was like, wow, dude, a bloody war. I love it, like, when, like, back in the day when blood meant something, you know, and it was a little more, almost at least TV-wise, more frequent to see blood, I would say, especially, like, in the NWA. Not so much in,
yeah,
like, in WWF when, like, Hogan would bleed, it meant something, you know what I mean?
That meant something.
Yeah.
No, definitely for sure. But talking about reading stuff, you know, earlier on Deathmatch Elite, I believe, or Deathmatch, the MDK's group, their page on Facebook, they was like, oh, it's not Deathmatch related, but this match tore down the fucking house or some shit like that. Talking about the Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa show or match.
Yeah, it was one of them lights. I think they're trying to like soft core death match in a to a point.
Yeah,
something.
Sure.
I've seen that. Moxley and Omega. Not even just now, but they're like
that. No, they did it when they first started. When they did that first Kenny Omega and death match.
Yeah, Omega and Moxley. Exactly. That first one was
the way it's
going to
build in.
I like it when that type of thing happens for a reason, not just for the sake of we're two crazy guys and we're just going to do some crazy shit because that's what we're known for. Like, this is that was a story that they told over time, which is like another thing that Martez had said, like, he's still a WWE fan. He's even called himself a WWE apologist, right? But just because it's not as good as it once was doesn't mean you can't still love it and refuse to give up on it. Because when there was clowns and plumbers and shit running around, I was still watching that shit. And I was in, like, 7th, 8th grade where you just straight fucking clowned by some folks watching,
yeah,
you know, clowns and plumbers and the goon and Bash and Booger and drunk and all that bullshit.
Well, yeah, brother. Our brother Zeke's on the line. Oh!
What up? What up? I'm still in the car.
What up?
I just called in.
Zeke is feeling a certain kind of way, y'all. Zeke,
let him get off the chest where he needs to get off.
And I love your highlight video. I just want to say,
dude, I love that shit,
video.
Dude. I shared that shit. You've already seen that.
So much controversy.
Some shit to talk about it. And I'm going to admit, very good friend of mine was one of them that, you know, didn't approve of it. And it, but I liked it. I mean, I'm more a fan of anything. But and Zeke asked
yeah,
for this time, and we said we absolutely would love to give it to you.
Yeah, who would have thought that I put a video in a group for Michigan Independent Weekly, you know? Who would have thought that it would have had 60-something negative comments? Like, are you serious? I didn't even make the video. Paul made it for me. And it says at the end of the videos if you guys watched it.
You
want to believe? Yeah. I posted it in every other group. I didn't get no type of reaction from nobody, but it's just the same haters I had last time. And I'm doing good because my views went up. Hello? Y'all there?
You said what?
Yeah.
I said, I'm doing good because my views went up.
Views
I went to sleep with it in 70 views, and I woke up and had 150.
And I'll tell you this, every
every show I've been to in the last few months, he's just a referee. So, I mean, it's not costing you bookings. I'm just, as a, you know, outsider's perspective.
Yeah, man. I just thought everybody was out here just supporting everybody, and I'm trying to be different. That's why I got, they said, well, I got a highlight video, because I'm trying to be different. I'm not trying to be a generic referee, you know. I'm trying to be one that stands out. Like, I'm not trying to steal their attention, but I'm trying to do me.
No, yeah, for sure, for
like,
sure.
I'm not taking away from the wrestling. I'm not doing none of that. I'm just trying to be me, be different.
And that's the argument I got, and I'll name him because I'm sure he doesn't mind. He said it in public. Matt Breeding said, you know, that his problem with it is a ref trying to get himself over, and that, you know, that's not what the position is used for, and that was his gripe with it.
And most of them spots were during the matches, so how am I getting myself over if the wrestler's called the spot?
Yeah, and it's...
That's also
it's
true. So wrestlers are going to cause a spot. Why have not had to have a video?
Yeah. I don't see a problem with the collaboration of it, and I don't see why a promoter would either. But I'm just a mark.
Yeah, I just don't know why.
You know.
All the same people that I had problems with, they just had to get their minion self in the corner and pee-pee and shit and talk shit about me because they ain't got nothing better to do but to watch me.
If you just watch and read, you'll find out who don't like who.
I knew it for, like, since the last time I caused some shit. It's all the same people.
Yeah.
I'm actually here at the store now, guys, buying some papers.
Papers, not blunts.
I need to smoke. Yeah, papers raw.
You hear that, kid? If you're going to smoke weed, bad weed
one
goes in a blunt.
Raw.
Good weed goes in papers.
One
and a quarter
papers.
Ultra thin. I'm a one and a quarter ultra thin guy.
The raw papers. Yeah.
All right, well, yeah, man, shoot. I don't know, but it's going to go either way. Either people are going to like it, people are going to hate it, but I mean.
No matter what.
I can't.
They're talking positive or they're talking negative, they're still talking. That's how I feel. And I just like
the
I love it. And y'all come out to PWAS because you know why? There might be another addition to that fucking video.
Uh-oh. Zeke's getting himself over Friday, guys. Don't miss it.
Yeah.
Get
Friday
over.
And Sunday. Friday and Sunday. Sorry, guys. Like, everybody that's over here hating because I
show.
Get more rubs from the Dread King Logan and they can't even get in the ring with the Dread King Logan.
Oh, God. Fuck no.
Oh,
Jesus fucking Christ.
Know, F.I.O. Find the post and read the comments. You'll know what he's talking about. F.I.O.
F.I. fucking O. Hashtag F.I.O. capital letters.
Yeah. Somebody wants to wrestle Logan so bad they got to hate at me because I get the rub from my boy Logan.
Oh, God. This is rated R, but that's...
You just said you got rubbed by Logan, though. Yeah, you did. Just say that. That was fucking hilarious. You just walked right into that, Zeke. That sounded awful, actually. I didn't even realize it until Danny was like, oh, no. It went over my head at first. But yeah, that sounded awful now when I replay that in my head.
Hell yeah.
But that's all
Jesus
it is.
Christ.
They're mad because I'm the main event referee.
Does that cost extra to see you get the rub from Logan?
Look, they're mid-carders. That's why they're mad because I haven't got the bump me. You know why? They need to get in the main event. They want me to get to bump me. I don't get bumped by mid-carders or opening matches because you know why? Logan needs me in the main event.
Oh shit!
Yeah.
So y'all set the fucking game up, and then Zeke will ref you and let you bump him.
Maybe. Friday is going to be an awesome card.
Friday and
they
Sunday
are.
If you want to catch 1, 2, 3, Z.
If I were you, I would stay away from that. What is it, the ragweed session with the albino Donkey Kong, Zach Thomas, and the Drag King Logan?
They wish they can get in the – they want their spot, so – they want to make the videos, so they want to be Zach. They want to be Logan, so they ain't got nothing better to do to dog me. They're like, damn, how do I get power drive by Zach? How do I get belly-to-belly by Logan, huh?
You're lucky you didn't get powerbombed over the top rope by Isaiah fucking Bronner. That was I was
imagine
scared for your
that, hey, imagine
he
how they
would have
acted Sunday.
Head.
Imagine them Sunday if that would have happened. They would have been saucier.
You know?
And I didn't
need to give you that footage. I got good footage of that, Zeke. He picked you up by your fucking pants. he picked you up like you were his cell phone.
He literally grabbed me from the locker room.
Yeah. And then he picked you up in the ring like you were his cell phone.
Yeah.
And then he hung you over the top rope for about 5 minutes in a powerbomb position.
Yeah, I thought I was about to beat Death Threat Army's bait. Like, oh, shit. Well, I actually was their bait because it caused Jeremiah and MN3 to come out.
Yeah, they finally got back in the ring. They should have headed out the door. They should, you know.
Yeah,
maybe
like
if there was
once,
nobody
they,
to
once,
see it.
Once Bronner let go of me, I darted out the arena. Like, I had to go.
Yeah,
I'm not. They let me go.
You need
for
to evacuate
seconds,
early more often.
Yeah. I'm just thankful for
sometimes,
you guys. You guys gave me the time to say what I had to say, address the haters, and I'm going to still do me. Like, maybe
and
one day
you can
maybe
get
they'll get the
brand
rub.
New
maybe they'll get the rub.
You can get the brand new Zeke cards, and you can get some Zeke die stickers.
And
just
I just got
Zeke.
Two more pairs of rest pants in the mail right now, so I always have brand new gear.
Always got a crispy haircut day before a show. If you don't know,
yep,
now you
crispy
know.
Crispy gear. Yep.
Oh.
They're just mad. They want
to. You were the first
that.
One to have the ref mask too. No refs had the ref mask before you. You had
no,
that coming straight
got,
out.
I'm
yeah.
responsible for George's too. I got George's mask too. So if you've seen him with the mask, it's because of me.
Shout out to George, my boy, from Pittsburgh.
Shout out to George, my boy.
I hope to see him this weekend. I know he's going to be at TKW. He's,
and he'll be at PWAS Sunday.
So we got another 3-day weekend with George. George,
yep.
I'll have a Newport for you,
no,
brother.
He won't be here Friday night. He won't be here Friday night.
Oh, bummer.
He'll be here Saturday and Sunday.
I know we are. We talked about TKW. I knew he was going to be there because he's also excited about Ace Austin and MM3.
Yeah, I won't be there. I didn't get booked.
We'll record that,
that's
man.
All right.
Beautiful. All right, thanks again for coming on, Zeke. Hit him up.
Thank you for having
come
me.
Come see him
I
at the show.
Get that off my chest. And anytime you guys want me, I'm here.
Thank you, sir.
All right, brother. You know.
And look
greatest
out for
Brian
my
in the Midwest.
Look
too,
out
by
for the
way.
Highlight video 2.0 probably coming this weekend, next weekend, or whenever, but it will be coming.
It's the remix.
It's the remix.
Oh shit!
It's the remix, baby.
Yeah, fuck around,
oh,
get Mo Better Beat to get you your own song, bro. You think they're big mad now? You get
oh
your own
my
fucking
God.
Theme song?
Yeah.
Bro, Paul hit your theme music when you came out to Raffle Max. Hey, motherfuckers would lose their shit.
I know.
Even
I,
if it happened,
I almost want to host, host the show now just so I could get my theme music.
Hit up Mo Better Beats, dude.
I need to
get you the information.
Again.
Hell yeah!
I got new theme music. I got new theme song for when I host now.
Nice. Yeah, you got to put it to your next video. Some custom Zeke music. Motherfucker rapping about Zeke. And what a rap. Yeah, dude.
Oh.
That's
so
right.
Saucy, bro. Like I could feel I could feel the energy in the locker room, like on Saturday and Sunday. I could tell who was cool and who wasn't. And to everybody that was, I love you, and everybody who wasn't, I still love you because y'all still watch my video.
Yeah.
Y'all might have talked shit about it, but y'all still watched it.
And maybe even showed it to somebody. Hey, whether you had
a
laugh or you were entertained by it, thank you for watching it.
Yeah, thank you. I love you guys. Like, something negative. I didn't get no thumbs down, so they must have liked it.
Nice.
They just need to write something about because they see a ref doing something different.
Yeah.
But thank you guys for having me. I'm about to roll this doobie, and I'm going to finish listening to you guys interviewing your guests. So it's going to be a hot show.
We got a hot
guest.
Thank
you, Greg. Thank you, Data.
Casey Mack is easy on the eyes, let me just say, like that. Married man, though. But I'm just saying, Gypsy Mac is definitely easy on the eye.
I'm taking control, dude. I'm not saying nothing.
See, I was bold enough to say it with my wife in the same venue as me. Lucky for me, she don't like wrestling. She don't watch her show. She don't listen. Actually, she does like deathmatch wrestling, though. One day we were trying to actually remember me, Day-Day, and my wife went to a show last year, and my piece of shit van is literally rusting the whole inner wheel well, not like the plastic part. No, the metal part of your car that humps up inside of your car falls down and gets jammed in the wheel. Smoke starts pouring out the wheel. We're like, what the fuck? We got a flat or something? We stopped. We had to do some triage shit on the side of the road. And we get to this show. It was a undisclosed location show of Horror Slam. Yeah, we had a good time. You remember that day? We were actually just talking about that on Saturday, about that day.
Yeah. Dude, I remember that shit vividly, man. I seen the smoke. I'm like, dude, I was like, your shit's smoking on the side of the wheel wall. She's like, what?
Smoking on you, cool. He sure did. I look over in the mirror and there's just fucking smoke pouring out the window.
I walk the fucking Greg's like, fix this shit real quick. Boop, boop, boop. And we fucking went out to the show. We, like, in the show, we didn't miss a beat. We didn't get a flat tire. No, nothing.
Dude, I jumped out in pit crew mode because, you know, back in the day, you catch a flat and you got a warrant, you don't fuck around, bro. You get that fucking tire back on there because if the cops see you broke down, they're going to stop. And they have to run your shit before they leave. So, yeah, man, I'm a pit crew tire changing motherfucker, brother. And I went into pit crew mode. I'm like, oh, shit, I see what's going on. It took a little doing and I think I grabbed a giant pair of channel locks and I just kept bending and pulling on it. So got it out of there.
Oh, yeah, I remember that trip.
Yeah, shout out to my lovely wife, Cherish. And shout out to our good friends at Pro Wrestling Edge, Dan Brewer, Gooch, Big Kaz, Jordan and Josh. Brandon and Josh came out to Horror Slam. They sat with us at our table, and, man, we had a good time. And, yeah, look forward to seeing those guys. Hopefully, it's hard to catch those guys with their work schedule, like, all in the same place. We were actually almost kind of lucky to catch two of them motherfuckers in the same place. At TKW, we had most of them, right? We had Josh, Nick, Dan, and Brandon, and Jordan. Yeah, all five of them were at TKW. That's,
yeah,
man, Pro Wrestling Hall, or, yeah, PWAS. September, October might be the last time we've seen everybody at one time.
Yeah, you ain't lying, man. Pro Wrestling Edge, man, a bunch of fucking great guys, dude. Check out their stuff, man. Podbean and everywhere you can get all your podcasts.
Yeah, anywhere you catch audio, you can catch them. Spotify. They are awesome shows. They are, oh, man, I'm embarrassed. I'm drawing a blank. Their last show was an awesome show. Who was it?
Yeah.
Check it out. It was a good show. I forgot. But, yeah, actually, it's always a fun time. Speaking of fun time, Day-Day, guess what time it is?
Oh, we know what time it is. We know what time it is. We got the interviewee for the night, for the evening. Ms. Gypsy Mack is on the line. How's it going, Gypsy?
I'm good. How are you?
Can't complain. Thank you for coming on to the show.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
Okay. So how's your day been? We talked all day, and I'm excited to have you on. You're ready to get back into the ring after an injury, ain't you?
Yeah, so I tore my ACL and my meniscus last year.
Okay.
It really couldn't happen if it had to happen at a better time in the COVID area. At least, you know, it was a perfect time to have to recover, kind of.
Yeah, luckily I wasn't missing a lot of wrestling.
Yeah, you're pretty booked, though.
You're going to be coming back at the perfect time.
But, yeah, I've been training for, like, a week or two now, a little bit again. So it's nice to get back in the ring and start doing stuff.
When are you planning to make your return?
My next, like, my first match will probably be in June is what I'm shooting for.
And do you have any ambitions or plans of where you'd like to work or who you'd like to work with?
I really want to work for Mission Pro Wrestling out in San Antonio.
That's my home state.
That's San Antonio.
Yeah, San Antonio's awesome. Of course, yeah. So are you from Texas?
No, I'm actually based out of New Mexico.
New Mexico, okay. Have you ever wrestled in Michigan?
No, I've never even been to Michigan.
Really? We would love to have you over here. There's a lot of wrestling big over here in the Midwest.
Yeah, that would be really fun. I've never been to, like, anywhere in the Midwest, actually. That's one of my goals this year doing wrestling is I want to hit places that I've never been.
We have so much going on in the Midwest, so many great promotions, and I fell in love with wrestling all over again when I found the indie scene, like, 4 years ago. I caught a show. Found out Shane Douglas was going to be there. I expected to see some shitty wrestling and hoped to meet Shane Douglas. And you know, I was so impressed. I'm like, wow. I mean, you know, and through social media, found out this whole world is out there, all these promotions, all over the United States. And that's why I love doing the show. We get to meet people and find out about promotions abroad. And, you know, we're blessed that we just have been able to meet some really cool people, promoters and whatnot. And we've seen, you know, people meet wrestlers and, you know, promoters around here. We're able to meet wrestlers from, you know, all over the United States, some of them which have come in, some that are going to come in the future. And it's awesome. We just love networking independent wrestling.
That's one thing I really do enjoy about this industry is all the people that I get to meet from different walks of life and just different areas of the world.
Yeah, it's funny when you get to meet wrestlers, like you said, these guys that, you know, had this love and, you know, got into wrestling, they come from all walks of life. Like, you find out, like, wow, that guy's shoot job is that? You would never guess that. You know what I mean? And you got people, like you said, definitely from all walks of life. So,
yeah.
how did you fall in love with wrestling?
So I've been a fan of wrestling since I can remember. My dad watched it. My brothers watched it. My first Monday Night Nitro, my mom was pregnant with me.
No.
So I always like to tell that story.
It's almost like Paige's story. She took her first bump in the womb.
Yeah, like, I think it was in San Antonio is the one that we went to.
Who was your first favorite wrestler?
My first favorite wrestler was The Undertaker, probably. Like, that was the first one that I was like, wow, this guy is so cool. Like, I want to be like him when I'm older.
No way, that's surprising. I'm pretty sure. I thought you would have said, like, Stone Cold or The Rock or something.
Yeah, mine was The Undertaker. I think it's just because he was so, like, out there and different.
Okay.
Yeah, growing, like, once I got older, like, you know, it changed to different wrestlers over, like, the years.
Who is your favorite wrestler today?
Today, my favorite wrestler would be Chris Benoit.
Oh, Chris Benoit, that's a great one. At the Wolverine.
Yeah, he's
amazing. Yeah, he is. Suplex master.
I completely agree. One of the greatest ever. And I hate that one event, no matter how heinous, really, like, changed the fact that he is seriously, like, in the top 10 of greatest wrestlers that ever wrestled, like, you know, he wrestled with some awful folks in the early Monday Nitro shit. He wrestled with some awful folks and put on some very passable matches.
Yes, for sure.
He's
worked in New Japan. For sure. Do you even pay attention to, or even, you know, dabble a little bit in deathmatch wrestling? You watch it or do you like it?
I follow a couple of guys on Instagram that do death matches, but I personally have never done it. Like, I'll do a hardcore match maybe later on down the road, but death matches, I think, I don't know about those ones.
Yeah, I had to ask that, like, if you even watch it or anything, but yeah.
Yeah, like, I know a couple of guys. Excuse me. sorry about that. That do it, but I don't follow, like, any promotions or anything.
Oh, okay, for sure. Now, how long were you training before you got a match?
I trained for, I think it was 7 or 8 months before I got my first match.
Okay. Now, knowing about, you know, indie wrestling, you know, you are, I'm pretty sure you know about, like, Billy Starks and Blue Sky. I mean, do you even know how Heidi Katrina actually?
What was the last one? Sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Heidi Katrina.
Heidi Katrina.
And Sky Blue.
No, I don't.
No,
Heidi's actually back in the United Kingdom. Some of the females that we have here. Actually, another question I like to ask, up and coming, you know, people, for you, where is the goal? Not so much even immediate, but long term. Would you rather go like tomorrow? Would you rather go to AEW or would you rather go to WWE? Where do you feel like you would have the best opportunity to succeed?
I always like having this conversation with people.
There you go.
You know,
freaking jerk, Brian.
Like, everyone wants to go to the WWE. You know, that's where, like, the big time is at, has always been. Everyone, when you talk to someone with wrestling, they're like, oh, WWE. You know, so obviously I would want to go there. But I feel with the stars that they have and how they treat a lot of, like, the other workers, I wouldn't shine as much as like some of the other females that have been there for a long time versus AEW, where they're building up this women's roster. And it's a lot of women that people don't know. So I feel like that would be where I would lean towards, because it would be a lot easier for me to climb my way up that ladder.
I completely agree that, because I always argue that I think your average indie wrestler feels that they would be given the most, they're not going to try to change who you are. Like, you got this opportunity because you built a character, a reputation, you know, on your own. Like, that individual, that character, whatever, deserves an opportunity to shine as that character. And I think AEW offers people that opportunity to keep whatever, you know, persona or whatever you want to call it, and be themselves and showcase what they have and see how, you know, audience responds to it. And that's how it should be.
Yeah, I agree. Like, that's why I really would lean more towards AEW, just because everyone that works there is the same that they were on the indies. Like, they still have the same name. They still have, like, the same gimmick. Maybe a couple of guys have changed here and there, but that you can tell they're more comfortable and more happy than someone at WWE that they're like, hey, we want you to be this lunch lady. Go get it. And you're like, I've worked so hard to get where I'm at, and now I have to do this.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, but you totally hired Gypsy Mac. You didn't hire a lunch lady.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great. It's Are you excited or are you more nervous to get back in the ring?
I have a mixed feeling of both. I'm excited because I love this so much and I missed it, but I'm nervous because now I feel like I have so many eyes on me coming back. Because when I got injured, I was barely debuting and I was having matches and I was gaining traction, and then I got injured, and you know, I'm really active on my social media and I update people where I'm at. So now I feel like I got more of a following over being injured. So now more people are like, oh, I can't wait to see her get back in the ring. So that's where, like, the nerves come from.
So they lifted, like, pretty much all the COVID restrictions in Texas. Are they running full shows? Are promotions that comfortable and running business as usual? I know you're in New Mexico, but...
In New Mexico, we don't have any wrestling at all.
Wow, what a lame-ass place to be. Fuck that place.
Yeah, it really sucks. We have an athletic commission, and no one wants to pay it. So I have my training school, and that's about it.
Wow, that's a bummer. How many hours are you from Texas?
The closest place with wrestling is going to be Lubbock, or Amarillo, and I think they're like 4 hours away.
So is Texas running business as usual, like pre-COVID crowds, and is the interest, like, do you, or does it seem like the same old guy? Because we got a lot of diehards are always going to come, but you see a lot. There's a part of the population that's scared of the COVID, dude, and aren't coming out.
The last show I had in Texas was in Amarillo, and it was still before all of the restrictions got lifted. So they still had a limited crowd, but their limited crowd is like 100, 150 people, maybe. Like, it wasn't anything too big, but there was still like a lot of people there, I felt, especially for it being, you know, a whole pandemic that we're in still.
It almost, and that's like how it's affected me, like, I almost feel, like, strange when we're in there and I see a lot of people, like, because it's weird because I've been around a lot of people in a long fucking time.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy to go and be around, like, all these people, but it was actually nice because you kind of got, like, a break away from all of the crazy restrictions we've had the last year. And living in New Mexico, our restrictions are so crazy. We barely got our travel ban lifted.
Yeah,
New Mexico is really restricted.
Yeah, ours, they open things up and they shut things back down. And you can eat inside and then you can't. And then you can eat outside if they make a little outside check outside. And they did that for a minute. And they just upped us to like half capacity a couple of weeks ago, which is really helping wrestling shows because it's hard for promoters to run. Like, you get a venue and you're like, all right, what's my capacity? And you're like, all right, we got to get a room here. Like, all right, we can sell like 30, 40 tickets. So, you know, like Horror Slam had to split theirs into two shows. And, you know, it's tough. Some people, you know, bought tickets to both shows and, you know, some people chose one show over the other.
Yeah, it's really tough for a lot of wrestlers and a lot of promotions right now because, you know, like you said, it's a limited capacity, so you're selling less tickets than normal.
Yeah, there's a guy, Thomas Williams, he runs War Wrestling in Ohio. He is actually the only person, he went to the Athletic Commission in Ohio and proposed a plan and actually got it approved, and they're running, you know, they've ran some shows there, and it's, I don't know, like, it doesn't sound like something fun to go to, though, like, the way it is. I mean, it's as safe as it can be, I guess, if you, and they're selling out, so it's working, but, yeah, it's like, some states are kind of crazy, and me, I'm about over it. Like, if it didn't kill me by now, it, you know, it's going to be what it is.
Yeah, I'm at this point with it where I'm like, okay, I'm cool wearing, you know, the mask or doing whatever, but, like, open more stuff up because obviously if we can do it safely, it's working.
Yeah. And I've gotten very used to wearing the mask, even indoors, because, you know, especially people you love and your friends, you don't want them uncomfortable. Like, my dad is scared to death. My dad hasn't been within 10 feet of me in over a year, or his grandkids, you know? But,
and it's a lot of the older people are the ones that are scared, and, like, I completely understand where they're coming from. But, you know, like, us younger crowd, let us have more freedom. Like, you're telling me last call is, like, 9:30 now. Like, I don't understand it.
That's because the corona starts getting crunk at, like, 10. It don't quit.
Apparently so, right? It comes out at night.
Yeah, it gets crazy. I told my body's like, oh, they're closed on whatever day because of the corona. I'm like, man, it's an excuse. And I'm like, so what are you telling me? It's like a weekend warrior and starts drinking and doing coke on Friday night, and it, you know, it don't calm down. You know, come on now.
Those time restrictions, those ones I really don't understand. like, you're open anyway. Might as well just be open the extra 2-3 hours like normal.
Yeah, okay, like, we can only have 10% as many people, but you can stay open all night. Leave it to the shop owners. When people stop spending money, they're going to close the shops. They're going to, whatever they're selling, you know what I mean? Like, all right, I get it. You have to, like, Walmart, and we have Myers. It's another, it's like Walmart, the 24-hour store. They have to close. They have to sanitize everything. I'm with that. But, yeah, it sucks for small businesses and being friends with promoters. These people aren't rich. They're not promoting wrestling to get rich. They're, you know, and it sucks for them, man. Especially Horror Slam had a 2-day thing, a collaboration with GCW. They were having the GCW versus Horror Slam show, and then Saturday GCW was running in their venue, and that got fucked up, and that really hurt them. There was a lot of plane tickets that were bought that aren't gonna get. You know, that money was lost.
That's right.
So, yeah, it's been hard on the little people. That's why I like, for, like you said, them to be able to stay open some more hours. That it does, especially being that you can only have a lower capacity of people to do business with, no matter what your business is.
And that's why I thought
exactly. Like, it's so stupid.
Yeah. If you had a dream, do you have a dream, and out of any promotion in the world, who would it be on the women's side? Like, out of any promotion?
If I could,
it doesn't matter.
Face anyone? Is that what you said?
If you have a dream match, like, if, who would it be again?
It changes, but it always kind of goes back to Rhea Ripley.
Nice.
I just
That's
feel like we would have
sure.
such a good match because I'm very, like, technical. I'm, like, you know, I like to fight, and I feel like she also likes to fight. So it would just be a good technical fighting match.
I love Rhea Ripley. How do you think your style would match up, like, in Japan? How would you like to work there and work that style with some of those women?
I would love it. I love Japanese wrestling because – so I like to do the high fly kind of stuff too, which I know a lot of their girls do. But I also like the strong style of it. So I think I would do pretty good over there.
I love Japanese wrestling. It's different, and it's a different style, and I love it for what it is. Even the crowd reactions, like, you know, if you watch, like, Tokyo Dome show, especially this year, where they couldn't even audibly cheer, so they had to, you know, clap, and they only clap when it's appropriate. They usually just watch quietly and respectfully until there's something to react to. I just love it. I love Japanese
wrestling.
Yeah,
it's a whole other world.
I can actually see you go against someone like Allison Kay too, cause she's from Detroit and she got a hard hitting, you know, strong style to herself too.
Okay, that would be a good one. Yeah, Japan is one place that I want to go eventually to wrestle. My goal is to be like doing international stuff by 2022.
Have you ventured into Mexico? You're kind of close.
I have not, but I know people that work out there that have, like, offered me to go train and go work shows, but it's just with this whole pandemic thing, I'm trying not to leave the country until that's, like, been, you know, everything's, like, okay and calmed down a little bit more.
Yeah, that's totally understandable. I've heard that, and I'm not going to get political at all, but that, like, the numbers are bad in Mexico, and that they're not even really being reported what they are because folks don't be going to the doctor and shit. You know? Like, they got it like that. So, you know, that's what I understand from Mexico and why a lot of people
especially down there. I have some people down there in Texas, and I lived in Memphis, Tennessee for a few years. So I know some people down south, but, yeah, I know that's a concern.
And especially, too, I do, like, you know, work and stuff, so I'd have to be quarantined for, I think, 14 days mandatory if you do leave the country.
Yeah. It is something like that. They are
yeah, so
they
I'm just like, it's not worth it right now.
Yeah. Yeah, to take a weekend booking would cost you 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's a lot of missing and having to stay at home. I hated quarantine,
yeah.
Honestly, so I'd rather not do it again.
Yeah, it was definitely weird. Everything, yeah, it was definitely weird. And especially right around the time of year, because, like, it gets real cold here in the winter, and it was, like, just starting to get nice, and, like, you want to go outside and do something, but you can't, and even if you did good, there's nothing to do. There's nothing to do but take a walk or ride your bike or walk the dog. There's literally nothing else to do.
I started getting into bike riding. I never thought that was going to be anything. I went and bought a bike.
That's funny. That's what we
did,
too.
There was nothing else to do. Yeah. I don't ride it anymore. It just sits here. Maybe this summer I'll go. But, yeah, I haven't gotten on the thing since then.
That's great. Yeah, that's what we did. My son had a bike. He was, you know, 10 last year, and I did a little fixing on some things and got us some bikes rolling. That's what we did. We were riding a bike to get out because, man, it was, especially because we're kind of, in a sense, cooped up all winter here because you don't really want to go out there. There ain't nothing nice going on out there. I mean, but at least you could before that.
Yeah, hopefully this summer is a little bit different than last year.
Well, fortunately, it seems to be heading that way.
Yeah, doing shows again has made me really happy. I missed traveling, missed going to Arizona, Texas. Hopefully, I'm going up to Colorado at the end of the month.
That's awesome. That's then you gotta find a way to travel east.
Send me some promotions. I'll reach out and see what I can do.
Absolutely. Yeah, TKW and Horror Slam. Definitely. And New Breed has a good women's division going. That's the beauty. A lot of weekends. We have, like, 3 shows. So you could, you know, come in and not just have to work one, so you could work 3. A lot of weekends. But yeah, I will absolutely message you those contacts.
Yeah, let me know. Like I said, that's my goal this upcoming year is to travel to territories I've never been. So Midwest, East Coast. I've never been out to Florida, Georgia, anywhere that way either. So.
Yeah, Capital Vices run crab wrestling. They're out of Virginia. But they're doing a collaboration with, I believe Flophouse is like right at the Indiana border. But Flophouse and Crab Wrestling are, they're in Baltimore, Maryland, are going to Florida, and they're having a show down there, a WrestleMania weekend.
That sounds like that's going to be a big one.
Yes, it's nice to see, and I think a lot of new eyes are going to be on those products. And I love it that hopefully it'll get more eyes on the indie product as a whole and people will find out, you know, through social media that there is a great world of awesome wrestling out there. Not WWE, because let's face it, WWE is not what it once was. Not even what it was not very long ago. But, you know, there's still great wrestling out there. There's still good storytelling wrestling out there. There's still not corny-ass wrestling out there.
That's one thing about this pandemic that I felt really, really sucked was indie wrestling, I think, was getting traction and it was getting hot. And a lot of people were like, oh, there's this whole other world of wrestling. And then Corona happened and shows had to stop, which really sucks because I hope all these people come back to shows once everything opens up.
I 100% agree that it was getting traction. It was, you know, not much to talk about for a while. Guys, I mean, we had guys start up promo tournament contests and, you know, do things to stay in the, you know, cut promos and stuff, stay in the public eye. And but what you say, it lost a lot of the traction it gained. We had a good 8 promotions in this area alone going every month. And, I mean, there's a lot of times that guys are working 2 shows in one night, that they're working before intermission on one show and driving 20, 30 minutes downriver to another show and working after intermission. You know, and for 2 promotions to be able to run and both remain successful and keep running monthly, you know, I mean, it just kind of shows the market that we have fan base wise to, you know, fill 2 shows in one night, be it a Friday or Saturday night.
Yeah, let's just hope, you know, it goes back to that once everything's 100% again.
Yeah, man, I'm excited that I look forward to seeing you here. I know we will see you here one day. I think it's just a matter of you having a couple conversations with a couple of people about the right weekend. It works for you.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll get the pleasure to meet you in person.
Down.
Yeah. And I see your pro wrestling tee store, and I see your shirt. Where else can people find you on social media and buy your shit and support you?
So I'm on Instagram. That's probably where I'm going to be the most active. That one is the.gypsy.mac. I do have a link tree on there that shows you, like, the link to my TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. I'm on Twitter. I'm not very active on Twitter because I still don't understand it because I'm old on the inside. And I'm also on Facebook, just Gypsy Mac on Facebook. I do add mostly everyone, but my friends list is going to be capped soon. So if you want to be friends with me on there, better get on it fast.
There you go. Limited opportunity. Limited time opportunity there.
Oh, yeah. And I'm dropping new merch soon, so be on the lookout for that as well.
Can you give us a teaser, what you got coming out?
Yeah. The new design that I have is going to be kind of like a tarot card, almost.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm very excited for it. It's really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Well, anything else you would like to discuss? My phone is at 10%, so it's going to die soon.
Right. I just want to definitely thank you for your time, and you have been an awesome guest.
Oh, yeah, no, thank you for having me. I love doing podcasts, and I like talking. So if you guys ever want me to come back again, just let me know.
We absolutely want you to come back again. And hopefully it'll be when to promote an appearance that you're going to have in this area, I have a feeling.
Oh, yeah, that would be the next time for sure. So hopefully in the summer I can start making my way out that way.
Man, that'd be awesome. Okay, then.
Oh, we appreciate
you still
it. For sure, yeah. Yeah,
well,
Jim,
I thought I was
great.
Mm-hmm. You're still with me, right, Dede?
Yeah, I want
it. Okay.
Huh?
I said you're still with me, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, we got everybody. We thought we lost you, too.
Oh, no, I'm still here. Sorry.
Oh, no problem. Yeah, Dave, do you have anything else? Dave?
Huh?
You're in
no,
a rare loss for women.
No. My phone keeps on going in and out. But we appreciate you coming on to the show, and we definitely want you to come back on, because my phone was...
Yeah, I'm looking forward to being on again, so just let me know.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you again. Coming up next, ladies and gentlemen, we got the Gorilla Position with Steve Aarons and the Macho Ghost on the boys. Don't miss it. It's always a great show. And again, don't forget, WrestleMania party at the Royal Oak Imagine Theater. That's get a hold of Martez. Tickets are $25. Awesome venue, awesome party, awesome guy throwing the party, and we hope to see you guys there. With Day Day,
yeah,
this is your boy Greg.
Have a great night, guys.
Later.